When this happened, you talked about it on The Fan.
Oh, hitting a 239 with 8 home runs and 30 runs batted in. Well hit fly ball deep to right field. Forget it, it's going to go. There it goes. Home run.
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
Rolling on a football Friday. It's BT and Sal, Brandon Tierney, Sal Licata. Coming up, you know what time it is. Well, if you remember Doink and Doink and
Goldust.
What was I?
You were
Doink and Goldust.
I still remember that day, man. Jeez. I was putting the makeup on in the bathroom.
That was hysterical. Actually, Hoff, you got to find a picture from that show where we paid off the bet. And put that on our X account so people can know, because we're going to play for something similar. But we've got that coming up next. Perfect parlay all year. We tackle the spread, obviously give you guys what you want. Everybody, well, not everybody, but a lot of people obviously gamble. So that's coming up next year. So I got to say this about my partner.
Yeah.
And it's funny. It's interesting. It's also a bit odd. And I'll let you take the reins, but let me just set up very quickly. I have never seen somebody get so annoyed at things that I deem so innocuous and benign as you.
Yeah.
The littlest things bother you.
No, it's not the littlest things. I don't think it's the littlest things. It's the reference, the continued references to fan graphs, for example, that set me off. It drives me up a wall. And yesterday there were multiple examples. You know, I do the Baseball Night in New York show with SNY, and the producer sends out a rundown. He's like, hey, well, how about we do the fan graphs thing? I'm like, let me ask you something. Why do we care about Fangraphs? Then you're saying, like, you know, a couple of people that were on the show wanted to reference Fangraphs, and then I ended up getting to a healthy debate with them, and then I see Andy Martino tweeting about it. So Andy tweets something about the Astros. This is yesterday, Andy Martino. Astros just got swept by the Reds. This is a good example of why the Yankees remain the most likely American League team per Fangraphs playoff odds to win the World Series. Yeah. And then in response to it, yeah, okay, well, What does that mean? That's great. Okay, so Fangraphs, the almighty Fangraphs, has the Yankees that we've watched that have been 40-41 for 81 games the last 3 months. They have the best odds at winning the World Series based on whatever their mathematical equations and bullcrap that they put in there is, as opposed to just watching a team who hasn't been very good for the majority of the season. Also, that does not take into account who's been the hotter team more recently. Like, based on the last 3 months, the Mets should have better odds than that. Oh, also, speaking of the Mets, get this, BT. Yeah. A week ago, the Mets had basically no chance of making the postseason or whatever the percentage was. And then they won 7 in a row. And then the odds significantly went up. Yeah, no crap, Fangraphs. I could have told you that. So Fangraphs' percentages were wrong a week ago because they didn't anticipate the Mets winning 7 in a row, which they did, which then changes their percentages. So my point is, what the hell is the point of referencing something that is inexact? It doesn't mean anything. Fangraphs, my ass with the Fangraphs
song.
God, it drives me up a wall.
You see what I mean?
Yeah,
I mean,
sorry.
It's just it's funny. It's just a roadmap if you want to try to use it. That's all it is.
Well, that's what they were saying yesterday. I was getting into it with Anthony DeComo and Danny Wexelman. I'm like,
well, I think I'm with them. Yeah, I think that they're right.
Why? How?
Because what? Okay, so
use the standings as a roadmap.
Well, they just start there.
Yeah.
What Fangraphs, or I use a different engine, but what they're doing, and you always seem to neglect putting this into the part of the conversation that I think matters,
right,
is that it's a combination of moving parts that they are quantifying that I don't have the time or the resources to quantify myself. Meaning, they're looking at the Orioles' strength of schedule.
Yeah.
They're looking at the Astros' strength. They're looking at all the trends. And it's just a little guidance, like a financial advisor. Hey, if you invest this, I can't guarantee, but I could probably get you in the neighborhood of 8 or 9% ROI. Are you going to say the financial advisor's an idiot?
I don't know. I don't pay attention to that stuff, and maybe I should. But in this particular case, yeah, you don't know, because the one time you do invest, it'll go south or whatever it may be. My point is that, and it's the same thing with the win probability. Oh, so a team that, let's say, has a 5-run lead in the 8th inning, the win probability is sky high. But then, miraculously, a team comes back and wins. And then the win probability, whoop, goes the other way. Yeah, okay, well, obviously, I know. I don't need your calculators or your percentages to tell me that a team that has a 7-game lead or a 5-run lead late in a game is more likely to win the division or win a game. I know that based off of watching. Just like I know by watching the Yankees every night, they aren't good enough. There's no way any mathematician, any calculation, strength of schedule, opponents, whatever, can tell me the Yankees should be the odds-on favorite to win a World Series. That is absolute bullcrap. I know there aren't any great teams. No way. They're also factoring probably the beginning of the year, which they shouldn't because things are different. So I don't know how they do it, but I know it's utter bullcrap, the Fangraph stuff. I wouldn't buy into it one bit.
Yeah, I know it bothers you. All right, 888-808-1019 is the number. It's BT and Sal on this Football Friday. We'll get to
Thank you for letting me vent there.
Yeah, I mean, it was the most simple thing I've heard you this week. You're run yelling like a lunatic about Fangraphs.
Drives me up a wall.
What is wrong with this guy?
By the way, on a brighter note,
yes.
The Sopranos thing is coming out tomorrow night. That is tomorrow.
That's not a good thing. I'm out. I got a football fundraiser.
Well, that's a you problem.
That is a
you. I'm watching it because you can't watch it Sunday.
I know.
It's not out tonight.
What
Saturday
channel? HBO?
On Max, I think.
Yeah, that's right. It is on Max.
So you have both episodes tomorrow. It's apparently a must watch.
On demand.
I mean, yeah, well, whatever. No, you can get to it. But
I'll dive into it Tuesday after I watch the Jets wax the Niners on Monday. And after you and I dissect the Vikings and Giants on Monday. Tuesday seems like, although I got to watch the Yankees and Mets on Tuesday.
Yeah,
but
I'm looking forward to watching it tomorrow.
Room for this. Yeah, it does say I can't wait to watch it either. All right. It's out of the system. You good?
Thank you. Yes, I needed to vent. Thank you. Now I think I'm ready for the perfect parlay pick segment coming up next. I'm ready to go.
All right, let's get back to you guys here. How about Phil in Ocean Township, New Jersey, with BT and Sal. Phil, what's happening, buddy?
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Good. How are you? Yeah, no problem.
Good. So you guys were talking about Peacock before, and so originally I bought Peacock February, when the Chiefs were playing the Dolphins on Saturday night.
Mm-hmm.
And
yes.
I was like, oh, you know, we'll probably cancel it after that. Well, turns out Yellowstone is on there, so we binge-watched that.
That's a good show.
And I said, all right, let's cancel now, right? Mm. Well, now we still have it because my wife, everybody loves Raymond.
Great and show.
That's why we still have it.
By the way, what's your name, Patricia or Patricia Heaton?
Yes.
Down low, yeah. You know what I mean?
But I'm now hooked because King of Queens is also on there. So
great show.
Both those, and now we're going right into football season, so I can watch Eagles tonight, and it's perfect.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not paying $5 a month for King of Queens, no offense, or even Everybody Loves Raymond, or what was the other, Yellowstone. I've seen those shows before.
Did you jump full throttle into Yellowstone?
Because
it's a bunch of series.
Yeah.
You watched every single episode?
Yeah, is it over, or are they coming back with a new season? I forget.
Didn't they come with a prequel? Isn't it called 1812
or
something?
Is
that something different?
I don't watch that, but I think there's supposed to be a new season.
Kevin Costner's money. He's good with everything.
That's a great, speaking of,
yes.
His daughter in that movie, in that show, in Yellowstone.
I saw pictures.
Big fan. What
yes.
You haven't watched Yellowstone?
No. I've seen pictures of her, and I've seen Yellowstone.
Yes.
But not all the like pieces.
Oh,
Yellowstone.
It's a great show.
I know it is. If you put me on the spot, hey, how many episodes have you seen? Embarrassingly, probably only like 7.
You should invest.
I know I should.
It's
a good show.
I think you and Jim, my wife and I loved it.
Right, so did we.
Get into that. Yeah,
we was just starting to finish. We forgot about it because I don't know if it was interrupted through COVID or whatever. We just got back into to the morning show season 3 with Jennifer Aniston.
I kind of fell off. I loved it. My wife and I both loved the first. I think 2 seasons.
It was the first 2. Yeah,
and now the 3rd one's out.
Well, I think it's done, but we just jumped back in the other night.
There's another one out, and I watched the first one. My wife gave up on it, and I'm like, I haven't had shown enough interest to get back.
What about Newsroom from back in the day?
Never got into
that. That was unbelievable.
I didn't like it.
What?
I don't know why I didn't like it. Maybe I should give it another try now.
Aaron Rodgers' old fling was on that show.
Olivia Munn?
Yeah, the financial whiz.
Yeah.
She was on it. Hoff, did you get into that? Did you get into Newsroom? I thought that was
cool. No, I never watched it.
How about Yellowstone? What's Costner? You watch Yellowstone or no?
No. I watch a lot of other things. Nothing close to what you guys watch.
Yeah, dude, Yellowstone is great show.
I like
show.
A lot
you
of murdery stuff. Like I'm actually binge watching Only Murders with like Steve Martin and Martin Short and Selena Gomez.
What?
That's
an
odd
trio.
That's fantastic.
The Three Amigos? Steve Martin, Martin Short, and Selena Gomez?
Can you tell us a 20-second premise there? What is it about?
Basically, somebody dies in their apartments they're living in.
Oh, hysterical.
And hold on. And then they set up a podcast to find the murderer because they think that there's loopholes.
Interesting concept. Interesting.
I like all three of those. I love Selena Gomez. I like Steve Martin and Martin Short.
They're missing Chevy Chase. They do need to have the three amigos.
I'm going to say something that's going to be unpopular here.
Uh-oh.
Don't say it.
Who's overrated?
No. You know, I used to love horror movies. Speaking of this, you know, different genre. Oh, God, I loved them. I was so into them. I probably shouldn't say it. I think that adults with children who still, Hoff, close your ears because you're one of these people, I think, that love horror, I think there's something off.
Yeah.
Once I had kids, I couldn't watch that stuff
anymore. I've never watched horror in my life. I just can't get into them.
I used to love them.
Really?
Oh, my God.
And Hoff and Gallo love them.
Yeah,
I can't watch
Gallo doesn't have kids yet.
Shame on both of you, first of all. Shameless plug, too, on me. Gore Buddies, me and Gallo do a podcast on horror movies.
Yeah.
You guys are crazy. I just don't like it.
No.
I grew up watching horror movies my entire life, whether it was Frankenstein, Dracula, or Freddy Jason, all that. Stuff, yeah. Michael Myers.
So
I've always lived on.
I never
that.
Watched Nightmare on Elm fantastic. Street. Like, I've never seen any of those.
Oh, I've seen them all.
Jason.
That was Friday the 13th.
I played the Nintendo game Friday the 13th, and even that for NES, it used to give me the heebie-jeebies. Like I would scare the crap out.
Well, I mean, the 80s. Like again, I was probably way too young to be watching this stuff, but like 80s horror was always about. All right, the young not young boy, but like the teenager. They
call it the final girl now. The final girl.
Because she uses
the last one to survive.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah, I got you. So before they sneak off at camp or the bunk beds or the car or wherever they go, smoke a little joint, you know, do what they're going to do, and then somebody gets an axe right in their heart. I can't watch that. But you know that's the premise of almost every 80s horror movie.
And by the way, you know how many careers were built off of that?
Yes, I know.
Kevin Bacon, yes. Johnny Depp, all
he was in
horror.
Friday the 13th.
Mm, yes.
Wasn't he in the scene with the bunk bed, Kevin Bacon?
Yeah, and he got it right through the chest.
He did.
Or the neck.
Jennifer Aniston was in the Leprechaun movie.
Leonardo DiCaprio starred in Critters 3.
What year? Was that before Growing Pains?
I think Growing Pains
was first.
It was before any major movie, though, from him.
Okay, gotcha. Yeah, I just can't watch it as an adult.
You guys watch horror movies, but you don't watch Yellowstone. I mean, come on.
Kevin Costner's too old.
Kelly Riley.
Yeah?
That's his daughter in the show. Big fan.
I got it.
She's an excellent actress.
Let me just Google now.
No, I'm just saying.
I want to see.
The horror movies. My God. I tell you guys are into it. I've just never been into it.
I don't see like a weird creep.
I'm not going to say everybody's deranged. I have no idea.
About. But she's old enough, right?
Well, I think older. Yeah, I would
Kelly Riley?
40s, maybe. I would think.
Oh, yeah, she's definitely old enough.
You make it sound like the horror movies haven't changed.
Maybe 30s. I don't know.
What'd she do to the lip with the injections? What are we doing? Can the...
Just watch the show. I'm talking about in the show.
Oh, like, I thought you meant... Okay.
Well, I don't know her person. I'm saying she does a great
job. I don't
mean
her personality. I thought you meant the way she looked.
Well,
that's what I thought you meant.
I mean, I did, but I'm talking about the show. She's great in shows, what I'm talking about.
Sal, hold on. I just want to say one thing about the horror movie, too, Liz. You make it sound like horror movies haven't changed. They're the same.
And I don't watch them. I never watch them then. I don't watch them now.
There's always... killing, obviously, and a lot of nice things to look at.
Yeah.
It's never changed.
Yeah, I'd rather not. I know what you're saying. I don't need to be scared when I want to look at the nice things. I just want to look at the nice things.
Yeah, but hold on, Huff.
It's a lot of different flows of energy going on.
Can I push back a little, Huff? I mean, maybe it's because it was the 80s and the styles were so different. I mean, I'm not saying there wasn't like a token hottie, but I don't remember like all this eye candy and Friday the 13th and Freddy.
Well, they always had scenes. Dude,
I'm not saying you said that. I don't know that they were that pretty.
Some of them were, especially in recent years.
I'm saying the 80s. That's why I said
But the 80s were the 80s.
Yeah, but people were still attractive in the 80s.
No, they weren't.
Well,
actually,
for the 80s, they were.
No, that's actually a false statement there. I've never seen a worse sense of style. It all came from the 80s.
I love the 80s.
I wish I could go to the 80s forever.
Right.
Love the 80s.
Go back there. I love the reality of it.
I'm going to have my wife dress up like 80s tonight, as a matter of fact.
Just avoid the 70s. You know what I mean?
I know what you mean.
Do you really know what I mean? You know what I mean, don't you? I love that you know what I mean. All right, it's 120 on the Fan Cheese. BT and Sal, 888-808. I'm getting the finger. 1019. The pointer, not the other one from Dove. I got you, Dove. I know what I got to read, but I also, can I at least tease something here? I was setting up the theatrical tease, and Dove goes, like, he points at me like I did something
wrong.
You
made a break. Your glasses weren't on. I was worried.
Yeah, you know what? I actually forgot that I had to read if I could come correct. I'm just messing with you. Thank you, Dove. I'll do the read in a second. It's money time is what it is. It's time to make some money.
Well, it's time for some payback.
Yeah. Hoff, tag team, we're here to beat you. You embarrassed us to no end with those outfits last year.
Bring it.
You're going
down this
year.
We're coming after you, buddy. It's over for you.
When this happened, you talked about it on The Fan.
Odell Beckham Jr. made the catch with one hand for the touchdown. Wow, what a catch by the rookie.
Ridiculous.
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
All right, this is always an awesome part of the show, awesome part of the week. Let's make some picks. The B-Team Sound Football Picks brought to you by ELEC, A25, Building Our Future, and by London menswear brand Charles Turwood. I love Charles Turwood. Shop your new favorites at ctshirts.com.
Segment. A year ago, Hoff wiped the floor with both BT and I to a point where we embarrassed ourselves. In here, I was in a clown costume as Doink the Clown. BT dressed up as Goldust. Hoff had a robust 280-point total on the year. BT finished second with 140. I was a pathetic 85 points. We cleaned up the rules a little bit here this year just to keep things tidy, BT. The rules are... you could either pick a two-team parlay, which is worth 25 points, a three-team parlay, which is worth 50 points, or a four-team parlay, which is worth 100 points. The parlays can consist of both over-unders or the spreads. And in addition, we'll pick the winner straight up, no spread, of both the Jets and the Giants game each week that is worth an additional 5 points. I promise this year, I will not finish dead last, and I hope that we turn the tables and embarrass Hoff this year. All right, BT, you ready?
By the way, when you say, can you have a little more inspiration and aspiration? You're not going to finish last. How about saying you're going to win? Well, I'm not going to finish last. Big deal.
I do think I'm going to win, but I don't want to go there just yet.
Oh.
I was so pathetic that I need to just... right the ship a little bit.
He's into things a little bit.
I mean, I had 85 points. You guys crushed me.
Yeah, you were.
I was pathetic.
The fact that I got the same sentence as you does not seem equitable.
Yeah, well. And right,
but so we had a bet.
I should note that, again, at the end of the year, the winner gets to pick what the two losers have to dress up as old school wrestlers.
Cannot wait. All right, Dove, we're going to need a little inspiration from me, sir. A little music. Ah, yeah, listen to that music. Ah, yeah, love it. So the first thing you have to wrestle with is, do you go for the gusto out of the chute and try to knock down a four spot or maybe even a three and try to bag a lot of points early and kind of create this gap? Or do you maybe piece it together, go a little conservative? Well, I'm kind of in the middle. I got a three-legger for you out of the chute. Let's go. First up, yeah, I got the Vikings and I've got the Giants. I'm getting both teams a little local. I'm going to touch both these local games. Now, I'm not going to touch the side. I'm not... can the Giants win? Yeah. Will they? I don't know. I do look at the over-under, which has got up a half a point, so it's getting a little late money here coming in on the over, which is now 41.5 for 1 p.m. tip, obviously, or kick, obviously, in MetLife. Vikings at the Giants. I'm going to take the over, Sal. I do see some mistakes with a rusty Daniel Jones. I do see some mistakes with a, at times, turnover late in Sam Darnold. But I also see a lot of secondaries there that have some holes in them. You mix in the usual early season gaffes, whatever. Two teams that probably aren't really viable when it's all said and done this year. Give me the over. Giants, Bikes, 41 and a hook to get things cooking. All right, game number two. Tennessee. We talked about this with Nick Costos. I actually had this on early this morning. I didn't really say it when Nick did, but I knew I had it written down. I like Tennessee. Now, Tennessee is getting 3.5, and yeah, I'm kind of probably further coerced by that extra hook. If it was 3, maybe I don't touch it. They're in Chicago. A lot of juice around the Bears. You got the quarterback. You got the receivers. You got the running backs. You got some defensive players. Well, And I know the Tennessee has just regressed quickly from their apex a couple of years back with Tannehill and Derrick Henry when they beat the Pats in the playoff, pick six with Brady. New head coach for Tennessee means you don't really know what tendencies they're bringing to the table. I'm with Costos. I do like the Titans. I was thinking money line, but take the 3.5 here. Tennessee plus 3.5 in Chicago. Third game, final one. Monday Night Football. That's right. I told you we were unkillable. We're back. We're back for more. We're back with a vengeance here. That is right. A Super Bowl preview, perhaps. Now, I like Purdy. I respect him. Good coach. They brought in their left tackle. They didn't trade their wide receiver. That's fine. Usually, you've got to look for flaws pertaining to the Jets, if you want to bet the Jets. Flaws in other teams to validate betting the Jets. I don't think you have to do that here. What you have to do is look at what the Jets have. And what the Jets have is a lot. Will they win? They could, but I don't know. Will they cover? Bet your ass they'll cover. Give me the Jets plus the 4.5 Monday night. The entire nation gets a first look at Rodgers, and they'll say, wow, he is back, he is healthy, and he is still good. So, in summation, the Giants, Vikes, over 41.5. Tennessee plus 3.5 in Chicago, and the Jets plus 4.5 Monday night in the Bay Area.
Well, I like it, BT, out of the gate with a three-teamer, and of course, a little pick with your heart there with the Jets on Monday night. Hopefully that doesn't come back to haunt you. All right. We now turn it over to the champion from a year ago. Hoff, what do you got to start this year? Oh, Jesus. That's embarrassing.
It's justified, man.
I guess.
That's the stage.
A little victory lap here in week one.
I don't get much airtime with you guys, so I have to try to just soak this all in right now. I deserve it. I did really well. I'm disappointed you took away the 5 picks. That's how I made my money.
I know.
But last year, I will say this. All but 1 week, I went 5 picks. What do you think my strategy is going to be?
4 picks.
No, I'm going to take it easy. I want to get on the board. I'm going 2 picks.
Ooh, 2-teamer out of the gate, Rob.
2-teamer. I'm going to make it simple. I'm going to win, but I'm going to do it at a very snail's pace way.
At a medium pace.
Like painfully chip away each week?
Painfully. I'm going to win each week.
Interesting.
It might not
strategy.
Be a lot. Might not be sexy, but let's go. Okay. I want to make you guys look stupid again. All right. First game up. Buffalo Bills playing one of the worst teams in the league in the Arizona Cardinals. I know I see their number as over under maybe 6-7 wins. I don't think they're getting that many. I don't know what their offense is going to look like, and I think that going to Buffalo first week is going to be a challenge. I'm taking the minus 6.5 with Buffalo. Simple. Okay. End the story. And then
this song is really pissing me off.
I can't stand this song.
And then for my second pick, I'm going to Cincinnati because guess what? You know who sucks? The Patriots. Mm. They are going to be putrid. Offensively, it's even going to be worse. Maybe defense can keep them in game. 8.5 is a high number. I'm taking it. Cincinnati Bengals minus 8.5 over the Patriots.
Does the champion take a quick question?
I
will allow it.
Yeah, just a very quick question for you, Hoff. I know you've done extensive research, so you're aware that the Bengals will probably be without both of their starting wide receivers.
Probably not. Check.
Well, Costos said it before, too. All right, well, there you have it. Hoff, Bills, right, and the Bengals. And now time for the worst parlay picker last year. I'll give you my picks here. I do think this music, this just hits differently. This music to me means Football Friday. Listening to Mike and Chris do the picks, what'd you say it was? 25 years? 35
years
yesterday. I got to do Mike's name good here. Come on, I was a part of his show. I was pathetic picking these games. So I started doing the South Special on Fridays with Francesa. I will bounce back in the biggest of ways this year. And I'm smart enough to know week one in today's NFL, way too dicey to try and get cute. I am also going with a 2-team perfect parlay. Starting with tonight. In Brazil, give me the Green Bay Packers. Plus 2.5 points. I don't think the Eagles are going to be as good as everybody thinks. Kelce, losing him at center is going to be a huge loss. We looked at everybody wants to talk about the offensive line, except when they miss a big piece like Kelce. It's all about the weapons that they have and Jalen Hurts and yes, Smith and all this and the wide receivers. Sirianni is a doofus. The team quit on him a year ago. I think Philadelphia is in for a long season, a season that will end in firing Sirianni, which you could argue they could have done last year. Give me the Packers and Jordan Love, one of the best young quarterbacks in the game. The floor's a good coach. Packers will win the game outright. I'll take the 2.5 in Brazil tonight. And then we go to Sunday. Give me Big Blue. It's now or never. I don't care that it's just week one. The Giants have to beat the Minnesota Vikings and Sam Icy Ghost Darnold. The Giants defense with Burns and Kayvon. The Giants offense with Neighbors will be more than enough to get the win opening week at MetLife Stadium. Giants will go to 1-0 and beat the Vikings. I will take them plus the 1.5. That is your two-team perfect parlay to get things started for week one on the BT and Sal Show. Now, for the extra 5 points, I will take the Giants, obviously, straight up to beat the Vikings.
Yep.
And I am going to go chalk and go San Francisco 49ers on Monday night. Look, I like the Jets this year. I think the Niners are just too good. Give me both the Giants and Jets to win outright for the extra 5 points each.
I think I'm going to mirror that here. I don't have great confidence with either. Like, I definitely think the Jets are there. I think they cover. I just picked them. I mean, I can, of course, see the Jets losing and still having a great season. San Francisco's really good. Tough spot going 3,000 miles out there, whatever. Well-coached team. I think the Giants will be there in the fourth quarter. I really do. If you can't beat the Vikings at home, I mean, who really are you going to beat this year? So part of it's based on the reality of what I think both teams have. Part of it's based on hope. I'm going to go with the Jets and the Giants as well. I'm with you.
All right. So I messed up. I meant what? Niners. I'm sorry. I said Niners and then again said Jets. You're going Jets.
I'm going Jets and Giants.
Yeah. I'm sorry. Hoff caught that correction. I didn't get
Thank
it.
Thank you very much.
I said Niners at first, then I, for some reason, said Jets and Giants. I'm going Giants, Niners outright. You're going
Jets, Giants.
You're going Jets, Giants outright. Okay. Which makes sense you having the Jets as well. Yeah. Hoff, what do you got?
I thought we were
going
to have a family pot until BT and both of you guys screwed it up. I'm going 49ers and Giants.
Okay.
Listen, and I'm telling you this much. The Jets, it's okay if they lose this game. I heard Costa said the same thing. They're going to do well. They're going to win a lot of games. Mm-hmm. It's the first week, San Francisco. It's okay if they lose, and that's what's going to happen. They won last year. What did it mean? Nothing.
That's true. Rodgers goes down after four plays. They beat the Bills. They walk off celebration. What did it mean? Listen. If they put it this way, Sal, if they do win, I mean, the feeling is just going to wow. If they lose, and it's very competitive, and Rodgers doesn't get hurt, I believe the Jet fans will be very grounded, and I think that they will process this properly, knowing what's there in week two and week three, early slate. I'm with you, but I do think, you know, maybe more out of hope, but I think the Jets win, and I hope the Giants win as well.
I cannot wait to watch these games tonight, Sunday, and then, of course, Monday. And obviously, we'll do a lot more on Monday, previewing the Jets, looking ahead to their matchup with the Niners, and then reacting all next week. All right, we're back at it. Week one, perfect parlay pick segment.
By the way, you're losing your game tonight. You've been sleeping on Philly all summer.
Yeah, well, look, and I deserve that. At least I love the pick. If I lose it, fine, I go down with it. The one thing I wasn't going to do, I didn't want to ruin Sunday because I want to look forward to Sunday and having some action.
Mm-hmm.
That's why I didn't want to take Friday, but I don't want to mess around. I love this game. If I think Philadelphia's going to be bad this year, why not go at it tonight, starting with the Packers?
Talk New York sports on The Fan. 888-808-1019. Powered by Paramount Plus. Stream the NFL on CBS live on Paramount Plus. Call of the Day with Brendan Tierney and Sal Licata on The Fan.
All right, today's Call of the Day brought to you by Volvo Cars Ramsey. Finding the Volvo you want is easy at Volvo Cars Ramsey and by Edison Heating and Cooling, New Jersey's heating experts. Ben's in Brooklyn. Ben, what's happening?
Hey, how's it going, Brandon? Thanks so much for having me on.
You got it.
Sally as well.
What's up, Ben?
I've been a diehard Giants fan since 2004. I'm 27. Thank God I just missed the Ravens killing us back in 2000. But in all seriousness, I really feel like everyone's so hard on the Giants, you know, being like there might be a 5-win team, a 6-win team. Respectfully, what Dable is able to do down the stretch to beat the Packers, that last game versus the Eagles, I don't think was a fluke. And honestly, I'm not here to like go chapter and verse and defend Daniel Jones, but let's be honest, he had Joe Judge, who was the worst coach on planet Earth a couple years ago. And Dable and Shane are both hitting their stride entering year 3. And I hear some idiot Giant fans say, oh, we should like clean house. Like, you want to fire coaches every 2 years? Like, makes no sense to me. To me, let's ride it out, and I think this team could go 7 or 8 wins.
All right, there you go. The ceiling for the Jets and the Giants, as I incorporate both here, is a little different. You know what the energy around the Jets is. I don't know what the ceiling is for the Giants. I think I kind of know where they're going to reside. I think I have a sense of what their floor could be. What do you think their ceiling could be?
10 wins.
10?
Yeah, I mean, yes, me ceiling. Yeah, I believe in Dable, so I think they're getting the 7 wins. I would bet the over. I think they're getting a minimum 7 wins. I mean, is 9 wins enough of like, that's a ceiling? If everything goes right, I really do believe the Giants could be a 10-win playoff team. Now, I mean, that's a lot to have everything go right, meaning Jones has to stay healthy and then perform at an even higher level than he did 2 years ago, meaning throw the football down the field. They have the weapons in place, Hyatt, Neighbors, obviously, Wandale Robinson. I like the fact that, the running back this time can now block and pass protect even more so. You're going to lose a little bit of the explosiveness in Saquon Barkley, but Singletary would be fine. I love their defense with Burns. That should help Thibodeau be even better. I'm not overly concerned about the secondary, especially if they could get to the quarterback. So I think you piece it all together, and they're a well-coached team. Yeah, I would say 10 wins. I'm going to take the over 6.5.
Oh, yeah, that's different. That's much more easier to digest there. 10 seems high to me. All right, but let me ask you this, and I know that you picked the Giants to win Sunday. I hope they win Sunday.
If they don't win Sunday, then
it's just going to feel different, isn't it?
Well, I don't know how I can make a case for the Giants to get to, 9 or 10 wins if they start by losing at home to the Vikings. You don't want to overreact in week one, especially in today's NFL, right? Because of the amount of games, because just the way it is. But, BT, we went over the schedule before. Like, this is imperative. Things change, and maybe certain games that we look at maybe now as challenging could become more winnable
later on. It happens every year. I hear you.
But, my God,
still.
Like, the Giants cannot, for many reasons, they can't afford to lose this game at home to the Vikings.
I don't disagree. All right, BT and Sal, before we get back to these phones here, I want to get you something on Rodgers as well. The Yankees starting lineup. Yeah, a little day game out in Chicago today. Yankees starting lineup brought to you by Jersey Mike's, the official sub sandwich shop of the New York Yankees, and by Casamigos Tequila, brought to you by those who drink it. We'll rip through this quickly. 1, 2, 3. It's Torres, Soto, and Judge. This is good. Austin Wells back. He's fourth. He's behind the plate. Stanton in the 5 spot. Chisholm 6. Rizzo 7. He's been bad since he got back. Really, outside of that blue double, he's basically done nothing. Volpe at short. And Verdugo still out there. He's batting 9th in left field. Heel on the mound today. Clark Schmidt back after a long absence tomorrow. Gerrit Cole on Sunday. I mean, the Mets and the Reds, Mets have won 7 straight. It is all sorts of stuff going on. And we'll do more of this on Monday, all right, as the New York sports scene right now is very vibrant. And we'll have a discussion, what you and I think about the can Rodgers still be great? I think everybody thinks he can still be good. Can Aaron Rodgers still be great? Well, Aaron Rodgers said that he thinks that he could still be great.
Right.
Which is awesome.
I'm not going to doubt
that. He's not running from that.
But I do think Rodgers, who's had to prove himself, and I love that book, the Ian O'Connor book, just finished listening to it a couple weeks ago. It's fantastic, and it does get you in the mood for me, I'm a Rodgers fan, so it really makes me believe in Rodgers. He's had to prove himself every step of the way. And now it's different where he doesn't have to prove himself as an NFL quarterback, but he does at the age of 40, coming off of what he did. And I wonder if there's at least a little bit of, like he said, I got to prove it to myself. And I do wonder if there's a little bit of doubt, just not knowing if he could still do what he can do through his 20s and 30s at the age of 40.
I don't know how there's not an ounce of reservation or fear. Like when you're by yourself, your most private thoughts. I mean, that is just a debilitating injury. And yeah, you can rehab, but that's why I thought he should have played a little bit against the Giants.
I know.
I said that, but all right, they didn't. He got through through camp healthy. He's going to play Monday, which is great. I'm sure he has supreme, like, unwavering confidence in his arm talent. First time he's got to tuck it and run. I know everybody says he looks quick and he looks spry and he looks healed. If I'm him, that's the stuff that would be, that's the last thing to come.
Right.
It's the last bridge.
Well, right. And we can sit here and see, and I would expect greatness from him too. It better be that. But deep down, do you really think he could be peak Aaron Rodgers prime greatness, where I don't even know if he believes that yet, because he may need to experience it and have that success at age 40. I know he looks great in camp and all that
who
stuff.
Doesn't? Yeah, I mean, Zach Wilson looked good in camp.
Yeah,
I mean,
right,
I'm
exactly.
not saying he's
right,
right. I think he could win the MVP. I'm not saying that I think he will. I think he could. You know, because you think about value, And think about, we talk about this like Lindor and Ohtani.
Mm-hmm.
If you take Lindor off the Mets, they're a 75-win team. You take Ohtani off, even with Betts missing a lot of time, you still have other players. Dodgers probably still find a way to squeeze out a wild card berth. You took Rodgers off the Jets last year. They were almost unwatchable. You know, if he wins 11 or 12 games this year, even if he doesn't have 40 touchdowns, how is he not in the MVP mix?
I would take a flyer on that for a betting purpose.
Sure.
I want to
look it up. Go ahead.
I'm rooting for both New York teams here.
Me too.
But I want to see the Jets succeed. I love Aaron Rodgers. I just have some reservations. I don't like the head coach. Not personally, seems like a great guy, but I don't believe in the head coach. That's a better way to say it. And I still need to see it to believe with the Jets. It can't just be, oh, well, they're going to be great on paper. They're great. Yeah, but it seems to always go sideways for them. I didn't think it was possible last year, and then look what happened. It looks and feels different now than it might midway through the year. I want to root for the Jets. I want to believe in them. I can't bet the over 9.5. I'm not there yet with them. But I would take a flyer on Rodgers for the MVP.
I think we got to make our first family bet here.
What is the odds?
I can't run through all the numbers here. I'll just get Mahomes. These are the players in front of Rodgers, MVP odds. Mahomes, Josh Allen, Joe Burrow, Hurts, Stroud, Love, and then Rodgers plus 1,500?
Yeah, I would do that.
We put together $200. Rodgers wins the MVP. We win $3,000.
Yeah, let's do that.
I'm
in for that.
I want to go more.
You're all
500.
I mean, come on. What are you doing to me here? I want to go.
I'm pulling you in. All right, man. We will make that family bet. Rodgers for the MVP. Hey, Giants fans, have an awesome week one. Enjoy all the stuff. Am I going to see you tonight? Are you going to maybe come and watch?
Keep me posted if you're out. I'll be tempted.
I'll keep you posted.
Put my wife to bed at 8 and then I'll go out.
Yeah. Take one more COVID test and then you leave the house. And I operate you, nutball. All right, guys. Enjoy football. Evan and Tiki, they are at MetLife today. We'll catch you Monday. Go Giants. Bye-bye.